The President of the United States had asked the Supreme Court to overturn the election results in Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court returned with a one-sentence rejection, so the late-night shows weighed in. Trevor Noah said, "You can't blame the Supreme Court for not wanting to get involved in Trump's case, because we all have that one friend that when you see them crying, you think, you know what, I'm just going to keep walking, because if I try to help, it's going to become a whole thing." Fallon, that's amazing. They rejected Trump's whole argument in one sentence. That's pretty much the Supreme Court's version of responding to a long text with, okay. Fallon again, one sentence. That page had less ink than Rudy Giuliani's face. Great joke, Fallon. That's basically a tweet that went to law school, Colbert. The president hasn't faced this much rejection since every time he has tried to hold Melania's hand. That's good. Trevor, Trump must be especially butthurt that the justices he appointed didn't do anything about this, because in his mind, he thinks they owe him big time. He's probably like, what the hell, Brett? I stuck with you when everyone said you were a creepy drunk, and now you won't let me be president just because I didn't get enough votes? All of a sudden, now you know the meaning of the word no, Brett, huh? I hate all of you, Neil, Brett, and you hurt me most of all, Amy Coney Island. Fallon, all the justices were like, we put on our robes for this. Seth, Trump put three judges on the court, and he was very explicit about the fact that he wanted them to jump in and steal the election for him, Bush v. Gore style. Little commentary there by Seth. And he still lost. When those three saw the actual court filing, it was probably like meeting someone you match with on Tinder in person. So that picture you posted, that was before the explosion. Seth, the right-wing judges on the Supreme Court are Trump superfans. They're desperate to side with him. If he could have given them a case with even a little meat on it, they were ready to hamburger helper it into a full meal, but there was nothing there. Fallon, the court really tried to do Trump a favor, though. They figured if it was one sentence, he would actually read it. And Fallon for the win for Trump. It felt like applying to college and getting back a thin envelope. It's like, well, this can't be good. From the Naples Daily News, sad news, comedian Brian Regan has tested positive for COVID-19. He has canceled tonight's show in Jacksonville. Brian's spokesperson put out an email saying Brian is feeling well, but he will follow doctor's orders to quarantine. The club says we're working to reschedule the performances and we will alert fans as soon as a new day has been scheduled. Fans should hold on to their tickets, blah, blah, blah. Nicolas Cage is going to host the History of Swear Words for Netflix. Now, as part of the wonderful advertising that supports this program, I'm supposed to keep this show clean. So let's see how far we get here. Each installment will examine the usage, origin, and cultural impact of specific curse words, such as, you know, the one that starts with F and the one that's like poo and the female dog one and the male anatomy one and the corresponding female anatomy one and damn. The 20-minute episodes will feature various celebrity guests. Sure, why not? Already scheduled to include Joel Kim Booster. Really? Joel Kim Booster is the first name that you mentioned in the press release? This isn't even in alphabetical order, is it? Oh, it is. Never mind. Joel Kim Booster. B comes before D as in D. Ray Davis. Open Mike Eagle. Is he a celebrity? Nikki Glaser, Patty Harrison, London Hughes, Jim Jefferies, Zanab Johnson, Nick Offerman, Sarah Silverman, Barra Vaughn, and Isaiah Whitlock Jr. Not exactly the all-star celebrity cast you might expect. Oh, there's more. There's cognitive scientist and author of What the F, Benjamin Bergen, linguist Anne Charity Hudley, professor of feminist studies Mirelle Miller Young, film critic Elvis Mitchell, and author of Word by Word, Corey Stamper. There's a lot of people attached to this thing. But hey, Nicolas Cage, swear words, you'll watch. Kevin Hart is definitely, definitely, definitely not lazy. Between this and the show I host on Live by Live, the weekly comedy thing, I feel like I am sharing with you a new Kevin Hart project twice a week. It's at least once a week. Here's another one. Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes will co-star in True Story. It's an 8-episode Netflix limited series. Every series on Netflix is limited because they like cancel everything after season 2, which is why I don't watch anything on Netflix anymore, because they just cancel it. I digress. True Story, an upcoming 8-episode Netflix limited series. True Story follows Kid, a character played by Kevin Hart, who is a famous comedian. The character Kid, also Kevin Hart is a famous comedian, but Kid is a famous comedian whose tour hits his hometown of Philadelphia, where, this sounds familiar. Where's Kevin Hart from? Isn't he from Philadelphia? While there, he encounters his older brother, Carlton, who is played by Wesley Snipes, whose unpredictable behavior becomes a matter of life and death as a single evening threatens to destroy everything that Kid has worked for. Doug Benson will keep you company on Boxing Day. For you Americans, that is December 26th. It is called Doug Benson's Comedy Sesh. No details other than this will feature stand-up sets from three of his comic friends who were not named in the article I saw. These three unnamed comic friends will then participate in a game from his podcast, Doug Loves Movies. And afterwards, there's an epic smoke sesh where you can interact. This happens December 26th at 420, because we're still doing 420 jokes 20 years later. Ha 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 ha. Chris Pratt will star and produce a new indie comedy. It's called The Black Belt. The film is described as a comedic coming-of-age story about a shy, unassuming teen boy on a quest for expertise in karate and the unorthodox uncle who guides him along the way. Okay, whatever. On the 13th, I'm counting on my fingers here, that's Sunday, Will Ferrell will be joined by castmates and special guests. Here, I'm bearing the lead. It's the cast of Elf is reuniting. Will Ferrell will be joined by castmates and special guests Zooey Deschanel, Bob Newhart, Ed Asner, Mary Steenburgen, Amy Sedaris, Andy Richter, Kyle Glass, Danny Woodburn, John Lithgow, Ed Helms, Busy Phillips, and Matt Walsh. It's a live streaming event, also appearing Jon Favreau from Pod Save America. This thing is a fundraiser for the Georgia runoff election in support of Democratic Senate challengers John Ossoff and the Reverend Raphael Warnock. Will said, "I'm excited to bring Buddy back to the small screen to benefit the critical Senate runoff elections in Georgia. We need new leadership in the U.S. Senate, and I'm hoping that Buddy and the rest of the Elf cast can play a small role in delivering that change. I have bad news for Will Ferrell. The Republicans are going to win this election. Why am I saying that? Because you're including Andy Richter. Everything Andy Richter touches gets canceled. Be careful. Maybe disinvite Andy Richter from this thing. He is the Ted McGinley of the post-Ted McGinley era, if you know what I mean." From Variety, Tiffany Haddish says she was asked by the Grammys people to host the pre-show, but she declined due to the lack of compensation. According to Tiffany, they refused to offer to cover hair, makeup, or wardrobe for the three-hour event. She said, "All of that would have come out of my pocket. I don't know if this might mean I might not get nominated ever again, but I think it's disrespectful." She is nominated for the Best Comedy Album for Netflix's Black Mitzvah. And I've talked about this in the past. These Netflix quote-unquote comedy albums, do they actually exist as comedy albums, or are they Netflix specials that I'm sure if I look somewhere, it's been released on vinyl and I can find it in one record store in North Dakota. But is this actually a comedy album? So I just went on the internet. I edited it out. I didn't make you listen to my search because it took a minute and a half. I don't see that I'm able to buy Tiffany Haddish's Black Mitzvah. Is it a comedy album? Or is it a Netflix special disguised as a comedy album to win awards? See, I have this problem with these things. By the way, last night I watched on Netflix Mank. Mank is a terrific movie. But is it in theaters? They probably stuck it in like three theaters. It's probably deserving of being Best Picture, but you know, things are changing. I will concede Mank is clearly a movie, despite me watching it on my television. I'm not sure that Netflix comedy specials are albums. I can't put my thumb on it, but if you want to win Best Comedy Album, at least release it as an album. And again, I'm sure they did. I'm sure it's on vinyl in two stores in Alaska. I get it. I get the game. Hey, Dane Cook has bought a house. From Variety, controversial bro median Dane Cook. Let's break that apart. No, wait, let me read some more and then break it apart. Controversial bro median Dane Cook has somewhat faded out of the public zeitgeist as of late. Controversial? When was Dane controversial? Over the alleged and I think proven joke thievery? Is that what made him controversial? Because people were jealous that he figured out MySpace and other people didn't? I don't know. I met Dane once. He was totally cool. Went to the deli and got him some sun chips when he asked us to. I think I made the sun chips run. Not that I was like, Dane Cook's waiter. I wanted to get a sandwich for myself. And while getting a sandwich, I got the sun chips for Dane Cook. But he was cool. He didn't steal any jokes from me. Controversial bro median Dane Cook has somewhat faded out of the public zeitgeist as of late, but the 48-year-old funny man is still keeping things chugging along on the real estate front. the Lamborghini driving Good Luck Chuck star. I have a feeling the Variety writer likes Dean Cook about as much as I enjoy Sarah Cooper's comedy. You know Sarah, she pantomimes to Donald Trump videos on TikTok. The Lamborghini driving Good Luck Chuck star recently shelled out $3 million to acquire the house directly across the street from his own longtime Hollywood Hills residence. The current structure is ripe for a teardown and rebuild, says Variety. It is set high above LA's iconic Sunset Strip. So let's break this down. Dane Cook has $3 million to buy a second house, but Dennis Miller had a $49 million house. Now, if I just asked you who has more money, Dennis Miller or Dane Cook, I would have guessed Dane Cook. Dennis Miller probably had a more substantial career, but Dane Cook was playing, you know, Madison Square Garden and was more popular than Dennis Miller at the time Dane Cook was playing Madison Square Garden. So if you adjust for inflation, I would guess Dane Cook has more money than Dennis Miller, but maybe not. Dennis Miller, a real estate mogul, apparently selling $49 million estates to Ellen DeGeneres, but Dane has bought a $3 million home. It is covered in beige stucco and accented with white trim. The blocky house was built in 1948. I was all over the place today, huh? That's your comedy news for a Friday. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, and do me a favor on social media. Tell your friends about the show. Rennie does it. Hi, Rennie. Love you, man. Thank you. You know, you could do a share. You could do a like. You could retweet from at DCN Pod when I put up the Spotify title card. Help me grow the show. Appreciate you. Regular episodes all weekend. See you tomorrow.